Hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Bennett, and each week we introduce another aspect of UFOs and the paranormal. And tonight, our guest is Dr. Georgina Cannon, and we're going to talk about past lives and her book, Return, Experience the Power of the Past, Past Life Regression and You. Now, normally, I give you all about 5 minutes of some current UFO and paranormal news, but there's not a lot going on right now, and I sort of wanted to talk. I love this subject of past lives. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to give everyone a little bit of past history about this subject. So past lives, as everyone knows, means that we have possibly lived more than one life. What's very interesting is this subject is referenced pretty much in all cultures, but it wasn't really studied very much until recently by some researchers such as Dr. Ian Stevenson, who I'm sure our guest tonight will have something to say about, and other researchers like Bruce Goldberg or Dr. Georgina Cannon, our guest tonight, and others. Edgar Cayce, he was a psychic from the 1950s, I believe, and he popularized the subject. And so did several books, such as The Search for Bridie Murphy, The Story of Patience Worth. She was a lady who channeled the spirit and wrote volumes and volumes of books. And another book, The Search for Om Seti, was also very popular. And today there's a lot of out-of-body explorers who are coming back with stories of past lives. And there's a lot of research into past lives which shows that actually it can have a profound healing effect on your life. Now, do you remember your past life? Would you like to? The fact is, whether you believe it or not, you have likely lived many lifetimes, and the empirical evidence for reincarnation is very extensive. And all research points towards past life regression as a very useful tool, not only in uncovering past life memories, but as a way of healing people of all kinds of illnesses and conditions, both mental and physical. By learning about your past lives, you are able to look at these conditions in your present life in a different way. For example, did you set up the current obstacles you are now facing on purpose, or are you reliving old past life conflicts? Well, these are the sort of questions perhaps that our guest tonight, Dr. Georgina Cannon, might be able to answer. Now, for example, have you ever walked into a party and found you had an instant attraction to someone? Have you ever walked down the street and felt a familiarity, even though you have never visited that location previously? Well, our guest, Dr. Georgina Cannon, has regressed thousands of individuals who have come to her for answers as to why they have these experiences and how they may find out who they have been in another life. Now, hypnosis can help bridge the barrier between this reality and the next. And Dr. Cannon facilitates regression sessions for those who are curious to discover if they had had another life and who they might have been. She is a certified master clinical hypnotherapist, an international teacher and lecturer, and is the founding director of a hypnosis clinic and school in Toronto, Canada. She has appeared on numerous radio and television shows and is currently involved in creating a major network television series about past life regression. How exciting.
Mm-hmm.
She is a member of the advisory board of the National Guild of Hypnotists and is the author of Return, Experience the Power of the Past, Past Life Regression and You, and many other self-help CDs. So, Dr. Georgina Cannon, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Oh, you're very welcome. Good evening.
Sounds like you've done a lot of research into this area.
Well, it's fascinating, and I've been doing it for 10 years, so, you know, we see many clients every day, so you work out the math.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think everyone knows what past lives are, and I think most people even believe in past lives. Myself, I think I remember a couple through the dream state and like that, but so how did you get started in something like that?
Well, growing up in England, you know, the metaphysical world is not such a strange thing to us. We still believe in fairies and goblins and leprechauns in Ireland and all that sort of thing. We don't really think it's weird, and ghosts are a part of all of our, you know, castles and palaces and things like that. And it's just part of who we are. And when I started doing hypnosis, it was just a natural evolution to go into past lives. And particularly as clients slip into it, you know, even if they don't believe in it. Sometimes if we're doing hypnosis for a phobia or a fear, the client will slip into a past life because that may be the beginning of that fear.
Oh, so it sort of started accidentally then?
Yes. Oh. Well, not accidentally. No, I went to I went to study under Henry Bolduc to learn the basics of past life regression, and since then have studied under many people and expanded it through right till last year. I went to Michael Newton and worked with him on life between lives. So we keep growing and learning and doing research.
Wow, it's a really exciting field. What I find very interesting about it is there hasn't really been a lot written or researched about it in comparison, I mean, to ghosts and UFOs
and
other subjects like this.
Right. Although the International Association of Regression and Research Therapies does have many cases that are researching, and they're always asking people to do research. And the work I did with the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, which was a three-part series, they researched all of the stories that came up when we were doing that program. And a good, they could verify a good half of them. And some of them were so old they couldn't verify them. I mean, if you're born in the 5th century, you don't even know the name of your village. Because it isn't part of your knowledge base.
Wow.
You just get up in the morning and go and, you know, till the fields and go back to bed. You really don't even really know what your family name is. You have very little knowledge at that time, so it's hard to research it.
I would imagine you could still verify to some extent as to what people ate and whether it was consistent.
Yes. Absolutely, what they ate, if they died, how they died, how they interacted. But it's always powerful because they always have some form of learning, some form of wisdom that they gather in that life. Usually it's about interpersonal relationships, but that's... it's still the most important thing in our life.
That's very interesting. So how do you go about verifying? I mean, you can actually find the actual person you were?
Well, it was, when we were doing the, when I did it for the CBC, for instance, I made sure we could get addresses, you know, addresses of the company that the person worked in, or
right,
where they lived or where they went, dates, names. Just currently, I had a client in last week, and we managed to get the name of the company, because at that time she appeared in the 1930s in New York, and she was working in a large brokerage company as a man, obviously. And we got the name of the company. We got the floor of the building. It was, I forget the number of the Wall Street, but we got some great details on it. And she went home, and she's researching it.
Wow, that's astonishing.
Yeah, it is astonishing.
So you are actually verifying some actual details.
Yes, yes. And I believe that there's some DNA research going on as well.
Oh, wow.
Of course, you can only do that with comparatively recent deaths, but yeah.
Right, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So how did you first get into this? I mean, it's a kind of a bizarre subject. It's something you were always interested in.
It's not bizarre at all. It's a natural... it's not bizarre, because what it is, it's just uncovering memories you thought you'd forgotten. People dream other lifetimes. People experience other lifetimes. They go to, for instance, they may go to an old Mayan pyramid, or they may go to a castle in France and have this distinct feeling that they've been there before.
Right.
Or they'll go to a small Greek village, and they'll find their way around, and they've never been there before, but they just know their way around.
I think everyone's had that kind of experience where they feel attracted to a certain place, too.
That's right. Or, as in the case in one of the cases in my book, a young man who grew up in a small town in northern Ontario was always fascinated by things Japanese. And there were certainly no Japanese people in his town. When he came to Toronto, he partnered with a roommate here who could speak Japanese, and he taught her English, and she taught him Japanese, and he picked it up within 3 months. And he's fluent.
Wow.
So he came into the clinic, and we did a past life on him. It was no surprise that he went into being a Japanese housewife in the 16th century, I think it was. And the first words he said is, "Oh, my feet hurt, my feet hurt." Because at that time, of course, they bound their feet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So our past life traumas can bleed into our present life.
Yes, indeed, which is why it's very important to, if anybody's exploring their past lives, to really close them off with forgiveness and healing and leave all the pain behind. That's why you need to find an ethical facilitator. That's why you need to experience the past life and finish it. You can't leave it in the middle. You have to close it off.
Oh, I see. So, I mean, this is not something you want to just mess around with.
No, you can't. You can't.
For fun.
Yeah. So, for instance, if you're being, you know, torn to pieces by lions or something, you can't just say, oh, I want out of here. Because you'll forever have sort of pains in your body. So you need to close it off.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So uncovering a traumatic past life, and I mean, you hear stories about, like, people, someone who's always got a fear of suffocating.
Yes, yeah.
And then they go through a sort of a hypnosis session.
Mm-hmm.
And they find out that they died in a Nazi concentration camp or a fire or something
like that.
Yes,
or they were buried alive with their husband died. You know, that sort of thing, too.
So that's pretty common.
Yeah.
Then are people cured of their phobia afterwards?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what about physical healing? Is that possible?
Yes. One of the more recent ones, I had a woman who was slightly overweight, and she had just started an exercise program at a gym, and she was coming to see me for weight loss. And then one day she showed up and she said, I don't know what's happening, but I'm suddenly getting this terrible pain down the back of my leg, and it's not muscle. I don't know what it is. And she said, it's just really bad, and I can't even go on the treadmill. She said, it's just bad. So I suggested she go to the doctor, and she went to the doctor. They couldn't find anything, and she went to the sports med clinic, couldn't find anything. So I said, well, let's see if we can find the root of the pain. So we followed the pain back to the source, which, of course, you can do in hypnosis. And it turned out that she was an Israelite living in caves, and at that time she was a man, and she was married with one son, and the young boy loved marching alongside with the Roman soldiers. But as an Israelite, she learned to keep her head down because they just kept out of sight. Out of sight, they knew they were safe because the Roman soldiers were pretty brutal. But
wow.
One day, the little boy was playing with the marching alongside the Roman soldiers, and one of the soldiers looked down and said, where's your mummy and daddy? And he pointed up to the cave, so the soldiers, group of them, came up and proceeded to rape the mother and slice off the legs of the father. And they took the little boy with them to turn him into a soldier, but he watched his father die. Of course, the father was this woman who had her legs cut off. So when we did that healing and forgiveness, the pain disappeared.
It's amazing.
And it's quite common. I mean, you mentioned Dr. Ian Stevenson. One of the symptoms that he has found repeatedly, or did find, was that people had birthmarks on their body.
I saw those, yeah.
Yeah, well, for instance, if they got speared in the back, there would be a mark on the body exactly where it was.
That was very convincing.
Mm-hmm.
And he really researched his cases, right, I mean, so extensively.
Yeah, and of course he didn't believe in hypnosis. He just believed in what children told him. He didn't use hypnosis.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's just amazing to me that we are all living multiple lives, and it's confusing to me. So, because what happens to us when we die then? So are we going to lose our identity as we assume another life?
Well, we go into the life between lives, and we rest and are healed, and we contemplate what else we need to learn, if anything. We rejoin our soul circle and connect with them, and take some time and wait until it's appropriate for us to come back again to continue our learning journey.
Now, are people able to reincarnate into any period of history? Do you know what I mean?
When you do a past life regression, or at least the way we do it, and by the way, I don't know if you know this, but we wrote the ethical standards for it, which are now being used around the world. We ask the soul, first of all, permission to go, and then we ask the soul to take us where it needs to go to enhance our current life, for wisdom that will enhance our current life. So they may take us immediately, say, to the 18th century. Then they can take us back to prehistoric times, and then back to maybe the 6th century or 1930, you know. It depends on what the lesson is we need to learn.
Right. You know, I've had like four major past life memories, and some were like during out-of-body experiences, and some were during dreams, and some are just like major obsessions I've always known.
Well, make sure you close them off, though.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting because each time I've been brought to one of these experiences, it's been one of the major, I guess, most profound experiences of that lifetime.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Which I found, I mean, another fascinating aspect of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, if you're doing it by yourself, then the soul will take you there. If you're being facilitated, then the facilitator will take you through the life. So then, in fact, you have a little more experience of maybe the family, maybe, you know, how you lived that life, what you did, all that sort of thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, how many people have you done this to?
Oh, must be thousands now. Must be thousands now. Yeah, in addition to which, I teach it, of course, and I teach it 4 times a year in our clinic, and I teach it in the States at the National Guild of Hypnotists Convention. And, so of course, when we're teaching, people practice with each other. So, you know, facilitated a lot. Yeah, 10 years.
Now, you say there are, like, about 10 clues anyone can use to help discover their past life identity?
Well, one of the things to do is to find out where you feel the most comfortable. You know, is there something that attracts you about a country? Is there somewhere that you've always wanted to go and for no reason at all? I mean, have you always been drawn to the Middle East? Or have you always been drawn to the Far East or India? Or have you always felt at home in Virginia? Or, you know, there's always something like that. It's usually geographical. And then it's, do you have a talent that nobody else in your family has? You're good at carpentry, you know, or do you play music in a way that your family doesn't do? That type of thing.
Right. Which I think is probably pretty common. It seems like everyone has their own unique talent.
Yeah, it usually starts, I mean, if you're absolutely fascinated by ancient Japanese prints, for instance, and you don't come from a family at all who's interested in art in any way, shape, or form, then you might investigate that. That would be really fascinating to find out why you're interested. Or if you picked up the violin at age 5 and started to play.
Right, I was actually just going to ask you, what about child prodigies?
Yep.
You know, they're probably past lives that are just, I mean, we all have past lives, right? I mean,
Yes. And of course, not everyone comes from this planet.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's terrifically ego-driven to believe we're the only, I won't say humans, but only sentient beings that are alive.
That's funny you say that because I had an opportunity years ago to visit 3 channelers, which is, you can only, you put whatever stock you put in them.
Mm-hmm.
And each of them said the same thing to me, though, that I lived a past life as an extraterrestrial, and I was here currently on Earth trying to help anchor in the UFO energy.
Great.
Which is interesting because, you know, I've got this huge obsession with UFOs, and I've actually written a lot about them now and done a lot of research. So.
Mm-hmm.
Past lives, they're affecting our lives profoundly, man.
Well, all the time. It's like your memories, you know. And if you wonder why you suddenly do things all of a sudden, and you hadn't done them before, it could be that it's time for you to do it. And that past part of you is saying, hey, don't forget to do this.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, so how many past lives does one person generally have?
Well, the most I've done for anybody is, I think, 9. They came 3 times. But there's no way of knowing, actually. Some people say hundreds, some people say 40, 50. No way of knowing.
There sure has been a lot of speculation in there, because some people have said even thousands.
Yeah.
Which, I mean,
I guess it depends on how long it takes you to learn your lesson. How many times you have to keep repeating the life.
Well, do you notice patterns in that regard? Do people come back and have experienced the same thing?
Yes.
Trauma or?
Yeah. And quite often, it you know, the person will come out of the the session and say, oh boy, I'm still doing the same thing. I guess I better stop doing it.
Can you give us any like specific stories of a lot of this stuff that we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what are some of the really exciting stories that people have gone through?
Well, we've had a couple of people who have experienced the total opposite. For instance, people will often come in and say, I'm so stressed. I work so hard. I can't seem to get any balance in my life. Can you help me with that? So I say, well, let's find out what it is that's causing you to be unbalanced. So we do a past life regression, and one person in particular, the first life she went into was as a Benedictine monk. I think it was in the 10th century in Ireland. And her role at that time, or his role, was to heal the sick. And he spent all of his time growing herbs and gathering herbs in the garden, or the many gardens, and then administering to the sick. He often would sleep on the floor next to them. He even made a specific yellow powder, and I wouldn't know what it is, that would help people who were in really deep pain pass over to the other side.
Wow.
So at one point I said, it must be very gratifying to do God's work like this. And his demeanor was very different, and he said, it matters not what I think. It's God's work. That's enough. And I almost felt like I'd been wrapped on that knuckle.
Wow.
Even saying. So, and we got through that life. And then the next life this woman went into was as a young countess in France who was married to an Italian count, and they lived on, I can't remember exactly where she lived, but she lived on the edge of a river, and I remember that. And it was at the time of the French Revolution. And she had four or five children. And she was really a flibbertigibbet. I mean, she really didn't do anything. All she did was carp at the servants because she was bored and she had nothing to do. And she never had time with her children because they were looked after by other people. And she was just a nasty, shrewish woman. But then the hordes came in the French Revolution and burned her house down. And the children burned, and she watched her children being burned, and they killed her. And so it was from one extreme to the other. And the lesson she got from that was to find her place in the center. And if she doesn't, she will continue living one extreme to the other.
Wow.
And that was so profound for her, it took her a week or two to get over it.
So it's so interesting. So is it dangerous for people to recall
past lives? No. Because if it's painful, for instance, if they're being hanged or they're being torn to bits in a lion's den or on a battlefield, you lift them up above so they can watch it and not feel it. So they watch it to the end and then release the soul. And
right.
The soul does the forgiveness and the healing.
Well, say someone is just doing fine in life and they have no illnesses or anything, should they go exploring their past lives?
Just for fun.
Out of interest?
Out of interest, absolutely. Absolutely. And also find out, you know, what you're made of. One of the big fears what people say is supposing I go into a past life and I find I was somebody really wicked or somebody really awful, you know, like a slave trader or a Gestapo guard in a camp or something really horrible like that. They say, I don't want to learn that.
Well, I imagine that does happen.
Of course it happens. And I say to them, well, that's a good thing. It means you've done that part. Right? Because
uh-huh.
We've all done everything. We're all everything. We're all good. We're all bad. We're all smart. We're all stupid. We're all everything. It's just the pieces we choose to use that make us who we are. So you've done that bit, so you won't do it again.
Well, you know, your researcher, it's got a lot to say about, I think, identity and who we are as people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we often think of ourselves as closed systems and
individuals,
when in fact we're sort of leading an army behind us.
Oh, and not only do we have a soul heritage, we also have a DNA heritage. I mean, you can do your research back through DNA as well, which is very different, of course. And if you think about how we came to be, it's all happenstance. But it's important to understand that although we bring karma with us into this life, what we choose to do with that is our choice, because this is a planet of free will. So we do have choice on how we live.
Right, right.
I think it's important because people are inclined to blame things on karma.
Does karma, is that a subject that comes up when you regret people?
Yeah, people will come in and say, I keep picking the wrong partner. The guy will say, I keep picking these women that are no good for me. Or a man will say, I keep picking these.
Well, I must have done something bad in a past life.
Yeah, and we say, well, not necessarily. You may just be choosing the wrong person because you like being a victim. So let's look and see what you're doing.
Right. Very fascinating. Well, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. Our guest tonight is Dr. Georgina Canyon, one of the world's leading experts on past lives, reincarnation, and past life regression. And she has written a book called Return, Experience the Power of the Past, Past Life Regression and You. Now, where can people get this book? Or do you have a website that you would like to refer people to?
Yes, they can get it from the website called returntopastlife.com.
Okay, returntopastlife.com.
Yeah. Or they can just Google Georgina Canyon and they can find our other websites.
Great. Yeah, I'm really excited about the book. It's very well written. I'm really enjoying it, actually.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Good.
I'm very much enjoying the quotes you have from the various, the Dalai Lama and things like that. It really, it's just a fascinating subject. So,
well, I wanted to remove the woo-woo about it. I wanted people to see that it could be, it's therapeutic.
Right, and it's very, you approach it with a very scientific attitude and very objective attitude.
Very down to earth about it. Yeah. If it does, I'm an ex-journalist, so if it doesn't work, I don't want to know about it. Don't give me the woo-woo stuff. It's either there or it isn't. Yeah.
Right. What's great about this subject is it applies to everybody. UFOs mm-hmm. perhaps not, or ghosts. I think they do in a way, but this one really hits home with everybody.
Yeah, no question. And we do some alien abduction work with people. And I'm hoping that when I finally do meet someone who comes from another planet, that I can ask them why they bother. We're in such a mess down here. Why would they want to come here when their planet's probably better than ours?
So, you have regressed people into alien lifetimes then?
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes they come in and they say they feel they've been abducted. And sometimes they have and sometimes they haven't. Sometimes it's just a dream that's a metaphor that they seem to have been taken somewhere else to experience something they need to learn. And again, that's the soul doing a metaphor journey for them. But other times it seems to be pretty real, and they have implants, which we have to remove, of course. And,
Do people remember being an alien in a past life and living, on a different planet?
Yes, yeah. And then they don't consider themselves aliens, of course. They just consider that they're living on another planet.
Do they describe what they look like or anything like that?
And sometimes they do, but many times they don't. They just are. They don't think they look weird. They just are. That's where they are, and that's what they do.
Are their lives any different?
One of the more recent ones was a young man who went to another planet, and he was on the red planet, and he was a scientist, and he. All he would say is that our heads are larger than I'm used to, and we're working with energy, and our job is to balance the energy and create new energy and find new ways of using the energy that comes from us and comes from everything, so we don't have to generate it any other way.
Wow.
But they somehow somebody had screwed up the balance of it, and they were causing huge explosions, and they had to. He died in one of the explosions because someone hadn't been careful enough.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. Just imagine how many people are walking around with these past life influences and have no idea.
That's right.
Do you imagine that a large number or all illnesses or just a certain portion of illnesses and conditions and phobias and stuff like this are caused by past lives? Or
I think many are. I would never say that they all are. I think many are. I think some are also caused by emotion. We do know that extreme anger, particularly if you swallow it long enough, is very toxic. It can give you irritable bowel syndrome. It can, sometimes give you asthma. So we know that you can, generate your own illnesses out of emotions in this life.
It just seems to me if someone is suffering from an illness, they might want to check it out and take a past life regression just
absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It might be connected. It might at least relieve it in some way.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
So what about people who claim to have been, you know, they've been regressed to the same past life and they're the same person. Is that possible?
Explain what you mean.
Well, I mean, or like, say, a bunch of people claim to have been Marie Antoinette in the past.
Oh,
life.
No, never had that. And it's really interesting because I had one woman, and I think I talk about it in the book, had one woman who came into the clinic who came in and she said, I know I was Cleopatra in a previous lifetime. And she dressed with sort of large jewelry on and a very grand gesture. And when people are that sure about something, I'm a little skeptical. So we regressed her into hypnosis, and she was on a barge with her lover, and asked her who her lover was, and she said, well, Mark Antony, of course. And I said, okay, and where are you going? And she told me, and then I started asking her some other questions, some historical questions, and she didn't know the answers. And also, her demeanor was not of someone in hypnosis. So we continued that journey, and then Cleopatra died, and we went into life between lives, and then I brought her into another lifetime where she was a pioneer woman in a wagon train crossing the West. They were attacked by a band of Indians, and the wagon train was set afire. But she was a very different person in that. She was quieter, and it was real. She felt everything. She experienced everything. And that was a true past life.
Wow. Well, I imagine we grow from life to lifetime.
And one hopes. Otherwise, you have to repeat the thing again.
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting that when she came out of that life, she said to me, that was weird because I'm really frightened of horses. And I don't like fire. I never light fires. I can't get close to fires. Now I know why.
Wow.
So that, for her, was profound, even though she claimed to be Cleopatra. She said to me, do you think I really was Cleopatra? So I said, well, you know, sometimes in this lifetime we model ourselves after people we admire. So maybe in a past life that's what you did too.
So has anyone you've ever regressed to someone well-known?
The only one I have regressed that's well known was a young woman who came in, actually not so young, she was 50s, and she regressed back to be, and I said, she was on stage in London, England, and I said, and what is your name? She said, Anna, and I said, and what do you do, Anna? And she said, I dance, of course, and she treated me with such disdain. It turned out that she was Anna Pavlova. The dancer, the ballet dancer.
Wow.
And she knew great detail. She knew where she lived in New York, the address. She knew the name of the impresario in Europe. She got lots of detail. And when she came out of hypnosis, she was really quite shaken. She danced as a child, but certainly had nothing to do with it since then. And subsequently, she and her husband went over to Paris and visited Anna Pavlova's grave in Paris. Yeah.
Wow, that would be fascinating to really, you know, get in touch with that and look upon your past life like that.
Yes.
And know that it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just astonishing. Now, what about, can people have two lives going on at once?
There are some people who believe you can have parallel lives. I'm not sure about that. And the reason I'm not sure about that is because I have a belief, like many people do, that everything is now, past, present, and future. So in that way, I believe you can live many lives at once.
Right.
But I don't believe in twin souls of living two lives at once.
Right. Well, you've never uncovered that in your research,
then. No, no.
So you've done thousands. So what are the major patterns that you uncovered and when people are regressed to past
The major pattern I've uncovered is that it doesn't matter how primitive or simple the life is, the learning is always profound. For that particular person, and they usually amazed, because it can be something as simple as remember to tell people you love them, or slow down and appreciate the simplicity of life. And it doesn't happen to people who are already slow. It happens to people who are running, who are stressed, and they are taken into that sort of lifetime.
Wow.
The soul takes them into, so it really takes them where they need to go.
That's amazing. That's a really wonderful thing to point out. It's like the movie It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm-hmm.
We all, I mean, everything we do does have a profound effect, and
mm-hmm.
even our even if you live a life that's not necessarily in the limelight or something.
That's right. I mean, if what you are is a farmer in 11th century England, and you wake up and you go out and till your field, you come home as it gets dark and go to bed, and you do that for 30 years until you die, that's a profound life, because you've built a family, you've fed them, you know?
Right. Now, is it true that people sort of are reborn into the same group of people over and over again?
Sometimes, yes, we do travel in pods. We travel in soul circles, and very often families do travel together in different roles. And sometimes the soul circle doesn't show up for three or four lifetimes. But yes, we do. We are inclined to carry people, you know, or have the same people, one or two, sometimes three, in a lifetime. And not always playing important roles, but yeah.
Right. Now, have you ever? I mean, do people have future lives? Can you regret?
Yes, we do. Yeah. You know, and everybody sort of gets excited, and they think I'm going to take them forward a year so they can get the lottery numbers or something. But we're looking, when we talk future, we're talking hundreds of years future.
So have you actually done that then?
Yes, oh yes, oh yes.
Wow, what is that like?
Energy. People see themselves as energy, mostly. They interact through thought. And
like telepathy?
Yes, yeah. It's a different world, totally. It's a world based on love and trust and support and commitment and cooperation.
Wow. So when does this? How far in the future is that?
Well, I don't know when exactly it happens, but those are the ones that I've done, and they've gone out sort of 500,000 years. Yeah.
Oh, way, way.
Yeah, way, way. Yeah. Yeah.
So have you done any, like, short-term, like, say, 300 or something like that years in the future?
It probably was about 300 or 400 years, and that's when it was energy, it became energy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be fascinating. So when someone is regressed to a past life, have they ever spoken in a different language? Or?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Oh, you're
yes, and in fact, in one of the people that the CBC broadcast, she started speaking Punjabi.
Wow.
And she was a silk trader on the Silk Road coming from China to India. And
no, you're kidding me. This is just a normal person?
A normal person.
Doesn't speak any foreign languages?
No.
Where is she from?
Toronto.
And she was regressed and she started to speak what language?
Punjabi.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, that's a language from India.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's amazing. I mean, everyone must have been just astonished. Have you seen something like that before?
Well, another thing I've seen that's similar to that was somebody who regressed back to ancient, and I'm not sure if it was Rome or Greece. It might even been Atlantis, actually. She was a healer, a very important healer of the city, and she lived in just outside the city because she wasn't part of the city. So people would come to her to be healed, and senators would come, people with wealth would come in beautiful robes, and she explained them in great detail. And I said to her, "How do you heal?" And she got quite irritable and said, "Well, I chant, of course." And I said, "Well, how do you chant?" And she opened her mouth, and out came this most extraordinary sound.
Wow.
It's like nothing I've ever heard.
Well, what did it sound like?
Well, interesting enough, the sound guys at the CBC were blown by it.
Really?
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, they couldn't use that story because they couldn't verify it.
Well, it was just a tone that came out of her
mouth? It was a tone on tone. You know when...
Oh, I see. Harmonics,
yeah.
Kind of?
Yeah.
See, this is fascinating. I mean, when someone starts speaking a foreign language, mm-hmm. I mean... you have to consider that proof.
Yes.
At least of something.
Yes. Yes. And you know, and if you don't want to believe that, the only other alternative is that you believe that it's a spirit attachment. So, which would you rather have?
That's true, huh?
Yeah. So I, of course, have to ask them to speak in English, otherwise I can't help them with the facilitation. I have to say, well, thank you, but could you please say that in English?
Will people fall into a different accent too?
Yeah, they do. And quite often the body language shifts. So if they're a soldier, or if they're a legionnaire, or if they're meek and mild, or if they're a bully, their body language shifts and changes. And the other thing that happens, if you take them back really, really early, if they go into primitive times, cave dwellers, they speak in monosyllabic language. So I might say, what is your role in your clan? And they'll say, fire. What do you do with fire? Start fire. Because they didn't have conversations.
Right. Wow. Isn't that interesting? You've gone all the way back to that far.
Oh, and further back, back to the origin, back to people have gone back to being just energy, being the source, the light.
Oh, it's fascinating. So there's evidence of Atlantis, you said? Really? People have had lifetimes in Atlantis?
Atlantis and Lemuria, yeah.
And what are those lifetimes like?
Well, Atlantis was from what I understand, very far advanced in science, very intellectually driven, whereas Lemuria was much more emotionally driven, much softer, much more creative. Just very different peoples. But they both self-destructed.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So who was the guy you studied under?
Henry Bolduc. He's in the States in Virginia.
Tell us a little bit about him and his research.
Henry started working, he got fascinated by past lives at the age of 12 and left home and started to work his way across the States and ended up at the Casey Foundation and took a job as a junior whatever in the Casey Foundation and stayed there for years and ended up as a facilitator, a past life regression facilitator, and wrote a couple of books while at the Casey Foundation. The Edgar Cayce Foundation, and he's a great lover of Edgar Cayce lore, and then started to teach past life regression.
Wow.
And he's a beautiful, gentle soul, lovely, lovely man.
So he's
Virginia.
He's one of your major influences, would you say?
Yes, certainly at the very beginning, and since then, it's very interesting because the first time I left his school and I think it was my third client or something, working with my third client, and the client went into past life but kept saying, all I can see is black, all I can see is black. And of course, I didn't know what to do, so I phoned Henry shortly afterwards. And he said, well, what do you think? I said, well, she could have been blind, I guess. He said, yeah, she could have been blind, or she could have been in a cave, because remember, when we had no light and there was no moon, it was black. You needed a different mindset. So he was my mentor, certainly, for the first few years. Absolutely, he was.
Wow. So what about this? You say you've developed a standard of ethics?
Yes.
What should people be on the lookout for from
people
who
are... It's important that when you talk to someone about past lives, that they let you experience them. They don't tell you what they are, because it's your past life. The thing about when people channel other people's past lives, because quite often clairvoyants will say to you, I can tell you were this and this in a past life. And that may be valid, but remember that they're doing it and seeing it through their filter. So if you have three channelers or three psychics or clairvoyants in front of you, one's from India, one's from England, and one's from North America, they may see the same picture, but they will interpret it differently. So if they tell you about a past life, you need to have your own past life yourself. And when you choose a facilitator, make sure that they're well-trained and make sure that they have seen other clients. You're not their first or second, otherwise you'll end up in black. And make sure that they care more about you and make sure that they do the system that includes forgiveness, healing, and making sure that you leave all the pain behind you. Close off that life. Because we find that many, many people don't do that, so they bring in a depression or they bring in a sadness with them, and they don't know why they've always felt sad.
Wow.
It's because they carried it forward.
This is some amazing...
We have that code of ethics on the website, so...
Okay, and what's the website again?
ReturnToPastLife.com.
ReturnToPastLife.com. Is that all one word? Return?
Yes, yeah.
Return to past life. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, what about soulmates?
Soulmates are an interesting subject. Many people think that their soulmate is their lover, you know. And what we have found in the work that we do, both at Past Life and Life Between Lives, is that soulmates are, in fact, part of your soul circle. People who come into your life to assist your soul growth, and that could be a teacher, it could be a friend, it could be a brother or a sister or a parent. It could be also someone who treated you really badly, so you had to learn a soul lesson. Or it can be a lover. It can be a life partner.
That's interesting. It's probably the most influential person in your life, then.
But there's many, too. I mean, you may have more than one.
Yeah, right.
And people, for instance, who have overcome very difficult early childhoods and have gone forward in strength and started really develop themselves and remade themselves, their parents may have been their soulmates because they had to learn a lesson. And if you work with people like that in past lives, you begin to understand what lesson they had to learn.
Wow.
And they had to learn to find their own light, maybe. Maybe they were so reliant on other people. In other lifetimes, they had to learn to find their own light.
Right, right. Very interesting. So if someone goes into a regression and they're going through their past life trauma, are they going to actually feel what's happening?
Yes, they can. For instance, lying? If there's a great sadness,
are they going to experience the physical pain?
They can, but we don't want them to feel pain, so we ask them to lift themselves above.
Okay.
So if they're on a battlefield, for instance, and they suddenly get shot or they get stabbed, lift yourself above so you don't feel the pain.
All right.
But certainly if you're going through the pain of a loss of a love or loss of a child, you do feel that. Absolutely, you feel it.
Has anyone said this is their last lifetime?
No, not yet. Not yet. What is interesting is people often come out of the first time they do it and they say, you know what, maybe I made all this up. I mean, I can't believe that this is real. Maybe I made it up. And then I say to them, did you feel it? Oh, God, yes, I felt it. Well, then, how could you make that up?
Huh.
You don't feel that sort of despair, or you don't make that up, you know. And because most lives are pretty ordinary, if you were going to make something up, you'd be Cleopatra.
Right, right. Which I'm amazed that there's not more of people, you know, living these extraordinary lives. And if past lives, I mean, your research actually bears out what seems to be the truth, that there aren't, because it's very rare to be famous, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
Well, it's pretty rare to be famous these days, too. You know, if people get famous through the media, but they're not really famous. You know, and how many Albert Einsteins are there? You know?
Right. Oh, I mean, 100 years from now, who's going to remember? I mean, who's going to remember anyone, you know?
Right.
Unless you're George Bush or somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Johnny Depp, yeah.
So is there any reasons why people should not do this? Any negative after effects or anything?
No negative after effects at all. As long as it's done properly. As long as the life is closed off and the healing and the forgiveness, both of yourself and of others in that lifetime, there's absolutely nothing wrong. It's only beneficial.
Wow.
It's a gift, wonderful gift to give yourself, actually.
I think I'm going to go straight out and do this, actually.
Sure.
I've been thinking about it for a while.
Are you based?
I'm in Canoga Park, California.
Okay. Then find a really good past life regression facilitator, and absolutely, or fly up to Toronto, or fly me down there.
So what do people generally charge for these kind of fees, and how much should people be expected to?
Well, it depends. It should take about 2 hours to do a past life regression session, and in those 2 hours, you should get two lives, maybe three, depending, and it can be anything from $150 to $350. Depends on the person.
Okay.
And then Life Between Lives, if you're going on to that, but you need to do past life first, that is 3 hours minimum. And, of course, the rate goes up higher than that.
Is that more interesting, do you think, than
It's absolutely extraordinarily moving because you totally leave your body behind and you totally merge into the superconscious.
Wow.
But again, you need to have done a past life first, a facilitated past life first. Otherwise, you're not, you know, it's like anything, you're learning for the first time.
Right. Well, what if you're not a good subject for hypnosis? I mean,
The only reason you're not a good subject for hypnosis is if you don't allow yourself to go into hypnosis, because all hypnosis is self-hypnosis.
Okay.
So if you don't trust yourself enough to allow and know that you're going to be in total control, because you go just as deeply as you want to, you do just what you want, basically.
Right. So what are the benefits, then, of undergoing past life regression therapy?
To find out more about yourself, about your strengths, about the talent that you sort of maybe vaguely played with. Like many people say, I knew I should keep painting, or I know I should be doing this. You know, I just ignored it for so long.
Oh, that would be just awful. Can you imagine just knowing that you were a famous something or other, like that lady, never actually exploring your talent?
Yeah. But many people who have a hobby, you know, give it up because they get too busy. And then in other lifetimes, they find that they've been doing it. They've made beautiful woodwork, or they've done some wonderful things.
I would imagine it would explain a lot of things, all your phobias and interests.
Exactly.
And would explain your relationships with your family and friends.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, right?
Yeah. And also why, when you first met your brother-in-law, you took an instant dislike to him.
Well, you know, the more I think about it, it sounds like a really, really helpful tool.
It's therapeutic. There's no question. It's a therapy. And if you are at all unsure of who you are, that's the other thing. It shows how many facets you have. It also, of course, removes the fear of death.
Wow, which is a huge, pervasive
fear. Yeah, because after you've done a few of these, you don't care anymore. You just know that you're going somewhere else. But it shows you how many facets you are and facets you have and how multi-layered and how magnificent we are as creatures. You know, we have so much, so much.
Right. Well, what about yourself? Have you done it?
Indeed, yes. Indeed,
I have. Of course. So can you tell us a little bit?
Sure. One of the things that I always knew about myself was I was a starter. I was always someone who did things first and quite often got laughed at for it or belittled for it. And I was always a person that was out there doing things before anybody even thought about them. Even in for this hypnosis, for instance, 10 years ago in Toronto, there weren't any hypnotists.
Right.
So when I had my training, one of the facilitators took me into a past life, and the first life I went into was as a young man about 13, 14, in 18th century England, and I was indentured to this home as a servant. And my role was to play this instrument, the string instrument, while the lady of the house was having teas for her ladies with all their big skirts and big hair and everything. And I would have to wander amongst these ladies singing and playing my three or four string instrument, strange looking instrument. And it was exciting for me when I started, but after a while I got bored because nobody listened to me. They didn't care. So to amuse myself, I'd make up songs about the ladies. And they didn't know, of course, and because they weren't listening to me. I was just a servant. But I amused myself, and that was fine. And then as I got older, they put me out into the children's playground. And the children didn't care about me being there either, but because people kept their servants until they died, I was put there and I was told I've got to play music for the children. And I loved watching the children play. And by this time, I was quite old, and at that time, I guess I was about 40. And I died alone in the servants' quarters, and quite content. But the wisdom I got from that is that the music is always the music, even if no one listens.
Wow.
And to me, that was so profound. Yeah. And there's no way I would have thought of that myself.
Now, is that memory just like your other waking memories in this life now?
Yes.
It's that powerful and that vivid?
Very powerful.
Wow.
Very powerful.
So have you remembered other lifetimes?
Yes. Yes, I have. I've had about four altogether. I'm mostly giving them to people rather than getting them for myself. Yeah, but they're always got some phrase or something that comes from that person in another lifetime that you go, holy smoke, that's so right on.
Wow.
Yeah, and you just don't think of it yourself.
Wow.
It's really a gift to give yourself.
Yeah, I would imagine. Well, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. Our guest tonight is Dr. Georgina Cannon. This is very interesting. Now, we just have like 1 minute left. Is it, what else can you tell us that we haven't covered? We've covered pretty much everything.
You've done a beautiful job. Thank you for asking these questions. Just make sure that you have someone who's well-trained. And if in doubt, you can always email us and ask us if we can refer anybody in your area. We will do our research, our end, working with the IARRT, which is the International Association of Research and Regression Therapists. And if they have therapists in your area, we'll let you know. Or you can contact them yourself. But certainly we welcome your inquiries.
Now, can people do it themselves?
You can, but the trouble with doing it yourself, of course, is that part of your conscious mind is still involved. So you never totally let go. And if you find yourself in a tight corner, what are you going to do?
Right.
It's better to have a facilitator, certainly for the first few times.
Right. I think, so are you working on, to make a TV special, is that true?
Well, just done the whole thing for Vision TV and also for Sky TV. Everybody's suddenly interested in past life regression. So, and I'm now talking to a producer about doing another series. So we'll see what happens there.
Oh, well, we're looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's about time some of this stuff gets
out there.
Right.
Yeah, so thank you for doing all this work.
Oh, my pleasure. Believe me, this is my tree. Well, that's our show tonight. I want to thank you, Doctor, for coming onto the show. And your book looks great. I'm really enjoying it.
Thank you.
And I wish you the greatest of luck in your future research.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, everyone, that's our show tonight. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. Our guest has been Dr. Georgina Cannon, whose book, Experience the Power of the Past, Return, Past Life Regression and You, is sure to be a real classic for years to come. So that's our show tonight. Next week, we're on Wednesday night. At 9 o'clock, we've got a change, so be aware of that, and I hope you can join us. Have a nice evening.
Good night.